So we are back, and we have a very special old friend on the show today.
I know we do. I'm super excited.
Yeah, Myrtle Potter is
today.
Back.
Myrtle is on. Yeah. And for those of you who have not heard our previous podcast with Myrtle, she is the lady we call our trusted voice in healthcare. Myrtle, welcome back.
Hey there, Jillian. Hi, Janice.
Hey, Myrtle.
How are you, buddy?
I'm well. So glad to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time. And I just want to explain to our listeners, the reason we call you the trusted voice in healthcare is essentially because you worked in the field. You ran one of the top pharmaceutical companies for how many years?
I ran Bristol-Myers Squibb for about 5 years, a big division there. And I ran Genentech for about 5 years.
Oh my gosh, I forgot that one. And then on top of it, survived a life-threatening situation.
I sure did. I had a life-threatening allergic reaction to a medication, and it took me about a year to come back. But thank goodness I'm here, and I'm healthy, and I'm so glad to be helping you guys.
And that's exactly what Myrtle does, is basically through her own experiences and her own history, she gives us information on how to navigate the healthcare system, which can be really intimidating and overwhelming. And today, we're going to do a segment on how to survive a hospital stay. And you sent me a fact here. You said an estimated 9 million hospital patients are harmed each year during the course of their care?
Yes, it's the truth, Jillian. You know, as much as we like to think that we're going to the hospital to get well, and for the most part that happens,
right,
there are oftentimes bad things that happen in hospitals that are easily prevented. So I'm hoping to talk about a few of those things today.
You know, it's so funny you say that. I'm just going to throw out one personal story, and then we'll get right to the points. But one of my executive producers, who I worked with on The Doctors, his mother was killed by a doctor who prescribed the wrong dosage of a certain medication, and it literally killed her. And he told me the fact was that more people die from accidents like you're talking about within the hospital or doctors making mistakes than they do in car accidents every year.
Yes. Medical errors are a problem. And with as many of us who are seeking care in the healthcare system, it just makes it even more important that all of us take all the measures we can to be our own advocates. So hospital stays are of particular concern to me for lots of reasons, and I think there's some simple things that we can do.
Okay, so the first one, you say good morning procedures. What is this?
What I really want people to do is to, when they have a choice, Jillian, get in, get your procedures done before 9 a.m. The data say that you are four times less likely to have a complication from anesthesia, which could be fluctuating blood pressure, nausea problems, post-op pain, than those who are coming in after 4 o'clock. Here's the other reason. Early in the morning, your doctors are rested.
Right.
They are rested. They've had a good night's sleep. If you're lined up and your number patient, 15 of the day coming in after 5, we all get tired toward the end of the day.
So true.
I like to see people go in early in the morning.
That's, something you never think of your doctor as being human. But even when we do silly things, even when we do the podcasts, like we record several at a time, and by the last one, you definitely get them.
Exactly.
They get a little wacky a little later on in the day. But when you're dealing with healthcare, that's not at all a good thing. Now, this one says, take a seat. So take a seat in a chair, not on your sheets. Explain.
So we've all heard these nightmarish stories about patients getting MRSA infections in the hospital.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Those infections are hard to control, and they are infections that get transmitted generally inside of a hospital. So when you have someone visiting you in the hospital, your loved ones, they want to sit in your bed. The babies want to come up and hold you. Keep your family off your bed. They bring germs in from the outside.
Wow.
They are not in the sterile setting that you're in the hospital. So to the extent that you can have them take a seat and sit in a chair after they've said their hello, it's so much better for you.
Wow. I can't tell you how many times. I remember when Heidi had our son. All of her friends are sitting on the edge of the bed. I mean, she just had a major surgery. She just had a C-section.
Exactly. Well,
oh
and we
God.
know for sure that we can reduce the number of infections by 70% if we can keep people off the bed and we can make sure they're washing their hands when they're coming in or going out, or wow, using those antiseptics that so many hospitals have pasted on the wall. You know, you squeeze a little container and get some out.
I sure do.
Yeah, make people control their germs.
Okay. And now take a picture of your doctor.
Yes. So here's what's fascinating. I was recently in the hospital with my father, who was ill. And between the turnstile of physicians who came in, I could barely keep up with who was whom. So I really encourage us to use our little smartphones. Most people have them. Pick it up, snap the picture of your doctor, ask the doctor for his name or her name, make a note of it. And that way, as new people are coming in to see you, you can feel perfectly safe in saying, I'm sorry, you're new to me, I haven't met you.
Right.
Because it's possible that the doctor is in the wrong room. You just want to make sure that the person
who's
in seeing you is a person who's supposed to be seeing you.
You know what? God, you make a good point. And when we were in for Heidi, there was a different person in. Every hour, every couple of hours, and by the way, telling us different things. And I was like, wait a sec, the one woman just said, don't pump, and now you're saying pump, and it's like, and she was like, who told you that? And I was like, I don't know, the woman that was in here an hour ago. You know, and I had no idea. You're right, it was just a cast of characters that were coming in and out of the room. It was chaos. It didn't even occur to me to actually sort of like take note of who they are, what their name is, what they look like, and by the way, what they said.
Exactly. And it's really important to understand what they say, and I will be the first to tell you, doctors can talk really, really fast. So make a buddy of your nurse. The nurse has a little bit more time. Nurses are so great at breaking things down into language that the everyday person can understand.
Yeah.
I know I do much better with a nurse than I do with a doctor oftentimes, and understanding what's going on is so important to you staying in control of your situation when you're in a hospital.
Yeah. God, that's honestly, the nurses, you're right. The nurses were the ones that were giving us the most information. And I remembered wondering why that was happening when you think that the doctor would be the one that would be doing that, but it was the nurses.
Yes. The nurses are trained to do that in school. And I think as much as our medical schools try to train doctors, you know, they've got the heavy load. So let the nurses help them out. Make a buddy of your nurse.
Okay. Now, the last one, check it out before you check in. Okay, so you're saying check out the care, right, at various hospitals.
Yes, I'm also saying not only the care, you also want to know that your doctor and that hospital has lots of experience dealing with your ailment. If you have a major cardiac problem, then find the major center in your area that is known for the work that they do on cardiovascular problems. And I just love a couple of really great resources. WhyNotTheBest.org is a great website for seeing what hospitals specialize in what. And also USNews.com and HealthGrades are fabulous resources. I use them myself. When you have a heart problem, you don't want to go to the hospital that specializes in delivering babies. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you two things about this. Number one, I actually didn't ever think, I don't know why, I guess it's just pure ignorance, I didn't ever understand that you had a choice. I always thought you go to the one near your house or the one that takes your care. Like, I live in an area where Cedars-Sinai is, so you just go to Cedars.
Well, Cedars is a great hospital, so you're really fortunate. You've got a great hospital near you. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, when you are preparing to have a surgical procedure and you know you're going to be admitted, you will have your doctor and you will have an option about which surgeon might be working with you. So to the extent that as you're making your choice around your surgeon, you can also add into that equation what hospital they're doing surgery at. That can be another valuable piece of information.
I love the prep, by the way, because, you know, you don't ever end up, well, we did prep with regard to the baby, but usually it's like something happens and then you go to the hospital. But I never thought about being prepared. And quite honestly, it's, I'm surprised that there is such a variation in the quality of hospitals. I mean, shouldn't they all be held to a certain standard?
They're all held to a certain standard, as are bankers and plumbers and exercise specialists. But there's also the best. And there are organizations who are independent who take a lot of time to give consumers a really good sense of who's considered the best of the best. If you're not great, you'll be shut down. There's no doubt about that if you're a hospital. But consumers have great choice today, and I just love it when I see them exercise that choice.
I just want to ask you, and I know you've sort of answered this question, but I really want you to drive it home for people, because I think we feel overwhelmed, and we've got so much to do, and we just expect people to do their job and be great at their job. So it's kind of like, why do I need to monitor my own health care? Why do I need to check into these things? Why do I need to stay on top of all this stuff? Isn't that the doctor's job? Isn't that the job of the healthcare system? But clearly, you know, you've said people are human, mistakes happen, but can you just drive that point home for me one more time?
Like, yeah,
why people need, how important and why it's so important.
Jillian, it used to be that even when we went to go see our doctors in the office, the doctor had a good 15, 20 minutes with us. Now the average visit is under 4 minutes.
Oh, God.
The system is strained. It's overwhelmed, and there are even more patients coming into the healthcare system, which I'm personally thrilled about. But it does mean that each of us as consumers has to take more responsibility for vetting the people that we are seeing. And if you need to be backed up by taking somebody with you, because sometimes it's easier to listen with two people, then you need to do that. Our system is a great system. It's one of the finest systems in the world. But just like you take responsibility for how your car runs, you take responsibility for whether or not your house needs a new coat of paint, you take responsibility for the grades that your kids are getting in school, you must, as heads of household, as members of your household, you got to take responsibility for your health care. And that means you have to be active.
Yeah. Thank you, Myrtle. Thank you so much. And for people to get in touch with you, what is your website?
www.myrtlepotter.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Myrtle Potter.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And Jillian, congratulations on your beautiful expanding family. I'm so happy for you. I send you so many blessings and so much love.
Thank you so much. And thank you again for sharing this advice with us and being a part of the show. You are our absolute favorite guest. We adore you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Scary, isn't it? It's scary.